We're going to talk tonight about the war of Psalm 83. 5 or 6 years ago, I first began to study this portion of Scripture and see this coming war. And I prepared a message to preach. And I thought to myself, I'm the only one preaching this message. It can't be true. It's got to be wrong. Because if you're the only one that has a message, then there's something wrong. But then I discovered there were a lot of other fellows preaching the same thing, teaching the same thing, discovering the same thing. And on March 31st of this year, under two headings about the war of Psalm 83, Google said on the first heading, I just forget the way it was phrased, but it had to do with the war of Psalm 83, there were 1.5 million hits on the one day on the internet. And on the other title, whatever it was, there were almost 3 million hits. So there's a lot of interest in the war of Psalm 83. A lot of people are understanding that the Lord's saying something to our generation. The war of Psalm 83. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we pray you'll bless us tonight. Lord, I have nothing to say to these people. Lord, you do. So I pray you'll come tonight, Lord, and take your word and speak to our hearts and reveal truth to us and help us to be aware of the lateness of the hour in which we're now living. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Israel has had three major wars since 1948. We talked about that this afternoon. Though none of these wars are, as I see, are mentioned in Scripture, yet I believe collectively they are foretold in Scripture. Zechariah prophesied. Look at Zechariah 12:6 with me. Zechariah prophesied about some future wars that Israel would fight. And I believe they were these three wars that have taken place in the war of Psalm 83. In Zechariah 12:6, we looked at this afternoon, but let's look at it again. In that day, talking about the last days, in that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again, even in her own place, even Jerusalem. Notice it says, and shall devour all people round about. I believe that's a picture of the wars that have taken place since 1948 and the war of Psalm 83 that's yet to come. Four things about these modern wars. Think with me for a moment about four things about these modern wars. First of all, this was a prophecy that was written about 600 BC, and it cannot refer to Israel's Old Testament wars. From that day until 1948, from 600 BC till 1948, Israel never fielded an army, although there were some rebels in the first century BC. They never fielded an army. And Zechariah's prophecy cannot refer to the millennial kingdom. All the weapons will be destroyed at that time, and there will be no wars, except that war between God and Satan at the very end of the millennium. And fourthly, Zechariah's prophecy cannot refer to the tribulation period. In the two major wars that take place in the tribulation period, is God that does the fighting and not Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39, which we'll talk about in the morning, it's God that does the fighting and not Israel. So when do these wars that Zechariah refers to take place? The only time left for these wars to take place is between the time Israel became a nation in 1948 and the beginning of the tribulation period. So I believe Zechariah was referring to these three wars plus the one that is yet to come before the tribulation period begins. Three wars have taken place in which Israel has been totally victorious, just as Zechariah foretold she would be. Zechariah said, in that day I will make the governors of Judah. Notice, when these wars take place, Israel will not have a king. They will have governors. It will be a democratic republic. That is the present hour. The present hour. When Christ comes, he will be the next king of Israel. But as of now, they have no king, and during those wars, they had no king. It's a democratic republic. And then notice again what I said, like a horse of fire among the wood, like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all people round about. These are colorful metaphors that describe those three wars that have taken place, and I believe the next one that is to come. Zechariah's prophecy has been fulfilled in our lifetime. Notice it says on the right hand and on the left. The enemies came from Gaza and they came from the Golan, and Israel defeated them. They came from all sides. And notice it says, very, very interesting, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again. I believe that's biblical Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem. And it was in 1967 that the Lord gave Israel back the old city of Jerusalem. It was inhabited again. So I believe that Zechariah was talking about these three wars that have already taken place and the one that is still yet to come before the tribulation period begins. I challenge you not just to take what I say tonight, but make this a study of your own. Always make the Word of God your own. But don't take what somebody, a prophecy teacher, or anybody teaches you. Get into the Word of God and make the Word of God your own. But now we want to focus tonight on the war of Psalm 83. It's also referred to in Ezekiel 35 and 36. It's referred to in Isaiah 17, Jeremiah 49, 23 to 27. In Amos 1, 3 to 5, and also in Obadiah verses 10 and verses 18. But we'll just refer to it as the War of Psalm 83. Now, who is involved in this war? We want to think about that tonight. This is a very important point. Try to catch the idea as we go through these verses. Who is involved in this war? Who wins the war? And what takes place after the war? These are all very, very important questions as we look at the days that lie ahead for Israel and for our society. Another important question. How does Islam fit into this situation? Particularly with regard to the war of Psalm 83 and the war that's to come after that, the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's a very important question, and we want to look at this together as we study these verses. I want you to pick up on what God is saying about the future of Islam. I believe we'll find the answers here. But now let's go to Psalm 83. Open your Bibles with me, and let's begin to look at this coming war. Verse 2 in Psalm 83. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. We're going to expand on this as we go through these verses. But that's exactly what is happening today. The Palestinians are the Edomites. I believe they're Edomites, the mixture of Arabs and Edomites. According to studies that have been done, and according to Jimmy DeYoung, they are the Edomites. They hate Israel with an incredible hatred. There is an incredible hatred going on in the Middle East, especially from the Palestinians, all of Islam, but especially from the Palestinians. Look at verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. Notice thy people. We're talking about Israel, who are God's people. God wants the world to know that Israel are His people. Keep that in mind. Whether Israel are sinful or disobedient to God, or whether they're in the process of being judged, they are God's people. Keep that in mind. God keeps reminding us of that. And Israel are not set aside because they've been disobedient and unbelieving. God has promised that He will finish what He began with Israel, and He will. And so we cannot say that because Israel is disobedient to God, God has set them aside. God says no. They are My people. And have consulted against thy hidden ones. This whole scenario, as we see these verses, fits the present hour in history. It fits no other hour in history but the present hour. And that's why I believe that the war of Psalm 83 is near at hand, somewhere down the line. Verse 4. And they have said, come let us cut them off from being a nation. That's what's going on in the Middle East today. The Arabs, the Muslims don't want peace with Israel. That's an established fact if you really delve beneath the surface. They don't want peace. They want to cut Israel off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That speaks of the present hour. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. Last summer, the Palestinians, Hamas, Syria, and Syria, and Hezbollah, made a pact with Iran to destroy Israel, to cut Israel off. They didn't use this phrase, but they made a pact to cut Israel off from being a nation. That's what's happening now. I believe the scenario for the war of Psalm 83 is happening now. And that's why I believe it's coming soon. This present scenario is the scenario that these verses describe. A few months ago, the Palestinian TV broadcast a message to Israel. I quote, "Israel, return to Europe and Ethiopia so the Palestinians can return to Israeli cities such as Acre, Haifa, and Jerusalem," unquote. Quote, Israelis go to your original homelands, Ukraine, Poland, Germany, Russia, and Ethiopia. The sense in the Middle East among the Muslims is we've got to get Israel out of the Middle East. And that's the scenario for the war of Psalm 83. 18 months ago, the leader of Hamas sent an official letter to the UN. And he said this, and I quote, "The land of Palestine belongs to the Arabs. From the river, that's the Jordan, from the river to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, there is no place for Jews in it." The present-day scenario is what is described in Psalm 83 and in those other passages. The Imams of Israel stated over and over again that the Jews have no claim to the Temple Mount. They say there never has been a temple on it, and it belongs to Islam. We see the scenario of Psalm 83 unfolding today, and in no other time in history is this true, exactly as it's unfolding. Now, on April 14th, a Palestinian Authority minister stated that Fatah and Hamas must unite in order to achieve the destruction of Israel. What Psalm 83 is talking about is the scenario of in the Middle East today. Look at Ezekiel 36:2 with me. Ezekiel deals with this very same scenario in connection with this war of Psalm 83. Ezekiel 36:2. "For thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you," that's Israel, "aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." That is happening today. That has never happened before in history, that a people dwelling in the land would claim the Temple Mount. So these verses are speaking about the present hour. Look at verse 5. We have the same scenario. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God," notice these phrases, note them carefully, because it's germane to the results of this war. "Surely in the fire of my jealousy," this is God speaking, "have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, against all Edomia," that's the Edomites or the Palestinians, "which have appointed my land into possession with the joy of all their hearts and with spiteful minds to cast it out for prey." That is the scenario of the present hour, and it's unfolding before us in our day. Notice God is looking on to what is happening in the Middle East. "And in the fire of my jealousy," God is going to intervene in this war, and his anger is going to be poured out upon the enemies of Israel. Notice what it says, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. What is more despiteful than sending your teenage sons or your children or daughters and strapping a bomb upon them and sending them blow themselves to bits in order to kill or injure a Jew? What, is there anything more despiteful than that? I saw on television, it's indelibly impressed in my mind, I wish I hadn't seen it, but I saw a terrorist blow himself up. What a spectacle it was to see his body flying in 100 parts into the air. And then these parents will go out on the streets and dance with joy and celebrate that a Jew has been injured or killed. That's the present scenario we have, and that's the scenario that we're dealing with. Now, the tribulation period, we'll take another tack at this war of Psalm 83. The tribulation period begins with a great peace treaty. The war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is another war that follows early in the tribulation period, the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 takes place when Israel is enjoying a very brief time of false peace. That's the setting for the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Actually, in Ezekiel 38, it says that three times that Israel will be dwelling in peace. Now, the peace treaty will give Israel the right to rebuild the temple, to build the third temple, and to restore the worship in that first half of the tribulation period. And so that will be the result of this peace treaty. Now, the scenario of Psalm 83 does not fit into the tribulation period. It does not fit there. It fits into the time of preparation for the peace treaty. The scenario of the war of Psalm 83 is this time we've just talked about, when Israel's enemies are seeking to destroy her and oppress her, and there's no peace for Israel when that war happens. But when the next war happens, it's a time of peace. So the war of Psalm 83 does not fit into the tribulation period. It fits into the pre-tribulation period, before the tribulation period begins, before the peace treaty is signed. There can be no peace today as long as the status quo is maintained. Only when the Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Syria are neutralized can there possibly be neutralized or eliminated, which these verses indicate will happen. There can be no peace as long as the situation continues today. As long as the Palestinians are in the land, as long as Hamas and Hezbollah and Syria and the Muslim nations that are supporting Iran, there can be no peace. There's no possibility of peace today. Peace can only come when something happens to these enemies of Israel that are seeking to destroy her and will not agree to peace. Now, the second thing we want to talk about tonight together is who are the combatants? Who's involved in this war? And their name for us in Psalm 83. Look at verse 6. Psalm 83, verse 6, and we have the names. Now, the names are Old Testament names, but we can relate who these people represent today. Their name, first of all, in verse 6, the Tabernacles of Edom. So the Edomites are involved. The Edomites have left their homeland, and they've dispersed, and we believe they're probably a mixture of Palestinians and Edomites, who are Arabs, and Edomites, and they're in the land. And so we see the Edomites and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarenes, and Gebel, and Ammon, and Amalek, and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them, and they have opened the children of Lot. Now notice, Ammon is Jordan. Jordan will be involved in this war. If the war broke out, they could participate in as the situation is today. But the Muslim Brotherhood are trying to overthrow the king in Jordan, and they evidently would be involved in this war. Notice the Philistines. That would be the people that now dwell in the territory of Gaza, which would be the Hamas. And then we have Tyre. That would be Lebanon, where the Hezbollah are based. And then we have Asher, which is Syria, a suburb of Syria. So that would represent Syria. So we understand basically who these enemies are. They're the peoples that are within Israel, the Palestinians. Excuse me. Sorry, my throat's a bit itchy tonight. I don't know why. Those that are within the borders of Israel, and those that are within Israel, and those that are on the borders of Israel. Later on, we'll see that the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39 are those that are beyond the borders of Israel. They're like concentric circles for these three wars. And then when we come to Armageddon, it involves the whole world. Okay, so these are the combatants that are going to be involved in this war. And this is the group that is now preparing to destroy Israel. I mean, you put these two things together, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's happening, to relate it to the world today. Now, I believe, study the Scripture for yourself. Don't take what I say. Make the Scripture your own. I want to emphasize that. But I believe that we're standing on the threshold of the war of Psalm 83. And there are many, many others that believe the same thing. Today, Hezbollah has a 45,000-man army. They have a special unit of 10,000 men whose task is to fire 50 to 60,000 missiles against Israel if and when this war breaks out. Some of these missiles are not just the rockets that have been fired from the Gaza in the last few years. Some have heavy payloads, up to one ton payload. This is the real thing. And they have long range, and they probably have chemical warheads supplied by Syria, and perhaps biological warheads. And they have 100 tunnels, apparently, dug under the border, where they could flood a group of terrorists, a large number of suicide bombers, and would come into Israel if this war breaks out. Now, Syria has a 500,000-man army. They have the latest military equipment. They're being equipped by Russia in the last year or two, in the last few years, with the latest military equipment. They have a large missile arsenal. And they tell us that they have the largest arsenal of chemical and biological weapons in the world. And we know that Assad would not hesitate to use them against Israel. Now, Hamas has been equipped by Iran, and instead of Egypt holding them back now, Egypt is facilitating their determination to go to war against Israel. Iran will not evidently be involved in this war. It looks like there's a war coming with Iran, but we'll talk about that tonight or tomorrow. Iran will not be involved in the war, but they are sending billions of dollars through Syria to Hezbollah and to Hamas in order to equip them to destroy Israel. Now, the whole world knows. Now, if you don't know, you're not a part of the whole world. The whole world knows that there's a major war coming in the Mideast. And we know that that war, from Psalm 83, will bring great destruction to Israel. The war will result in great destruction to Israel. Look at verse 12 in Psalm 83. Who say, let us take ourselves the house of God in possession. There we have the same thing that relates to the present hour. That's immediately followed up by verse 13. Notice what it says. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, like a stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and as a flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. This is how God is going to deal with the enemies of Israel when this war breaks out. Remember, it said God's anger is going to come up in his face. God is listening to what they're saying about the Temple Mount and about the land of Israel. God is listening to what they're saying that the Jews have no claim to the Temple Mount. God is listening when they say they're going to destroy Israel. God hears that, and God loves his people Israel, and his anger is going to come up in his face. And he's going to deal with these enemies of Israel in a severe way when this war breaks out. Look verse 17. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Let them be put to shame. And perish. That's the end of this war. That's how this war is going to work out. God is going to destroy these enemies that are now blaspheming his name and his people at the present hour. And God is listening. And God is going to destroy them. They should put to shame and perish. Let them be troubled forever and put to shame and perish. Now, Ezekiel 35 gives us the same message. Look at verses 1 to 4. Look at verse 5. Verses 1 to 4 is a prophecy against Edom, and this prophecy has a near and a far fulfillment. But look at verse 5. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword, that's what's going on now, and that's what they're proposing to do. In the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. And so the Edomites have a long history of hatred toward Israel. And it's going to come to a head. For the last 60 years, the Palestinians and those Arabs around Israel have been shedding Jewish blood. Now look in verse 6 and see the climax of this long hatred against Israel. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, this is God speaking about this matter. I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. This is how this war is going to break out, going to end. And notice what it says, since thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. You want the blood of my people Israel? I'll give you blood, I'll give you your own blood. And so this is the way this war is going to come to conclusion. God is going to intervene, and the blood of these people are going to be shed. And Jimmy DeYoung, as I said, believes that the Palestinians or the Edomites moved up into Bosnia and then moved down into Israel in the middle of the last century. Now, look at verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 83. I believe there's a near and far fulfillment to this, but I think both are obvious here. Thus will I make Mount Seir, that's the Palestinians, most desolate. That is a fulfillment in history, and I believe it have another fulfillment, a second fulfillment. And cut off from it that passes out of him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains with slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. The end of this war of Psalm 83 is going to be great destruction of the enemies of Israel. This war that I believe we're standing on the threshold of. Look at verse 9. I will make thee a perpetual desolations. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When this war comes to an end, these people are going to be terminated as far as the land of Israel is concerned. That's what God is saying. And notice what he says. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. God is going to give to the world a witness in this world, in this world, to his own name, as he did in the last three wars. But he's going to give a greater witness in this war. The world is going to know that God has intervened and wiped these people out. And this war will remove the Palestinians from Israel altogether. Look at verse 10, and we see the reason. Because thou hast said, these two nations, Judah and Israel, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. That's what's happened today. Has never happened in history before in that way. And it's going on today. And notice what it says, whereas the Lord was there. Today, God is watching and God is listening to what is happening in the Middle East. God is listening to those that are blaspheming His people. God is listening to those that are blaspheming His own name. God is listening to those that say they're going to wipe Israel off the map. God is watching when those that are planning to do that. And God is going to intervene. And that tells us how this war is going to come to an end. Look at verse 11. Israel are still disobedient in unbelief and rebellion against God. They still rejecting their Messiah. But they're still God's people. Keep that in mind. They're still God's people, and God loves them. And God will deal with their sin, and God will judge them, and those that will not respond in repentance and faith, God will remove them. But these are God's people, and He loves them no matter what they do. He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that He would bless Israel and restore them, and He is going to keep that promise for the sake of the glory of His own name and for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God is going to bless, Israel are going to go through some hard times of unbelief and disobedience, and God is going to, but God loves them. Look at verse 11. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred, speaking about these Palestinians and these Arabs that are seeking to destroy Israel. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. God is going to intervene in this war and personally judge these enemies of Israel. So we catch a sense of how this war is going to come to conclusion. That's important as we study what's going to happen in the next few years, with regard to the tribulation period. Verse 13, thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me. That's what's going on today. That's not right? Is that not true? They're boasting against God. The Temple Mount is ours. The land of Israel is ours. Allah's the God. Jehovah's nothing. And God hears that, and they boast against God. And it says this, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. God is going to intervene in this war. Look at Obadiah 18. Look at verse 18. Mark down verse 10, but look at verse 18. Speaking about the same war, dealing with Edom, Esau. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. That's the outcome of this war. They'll be eliminated. There'll be no Palestinians left in the land to claim the West Bank. There'll be no hindrance to a peace treaty. God is going to deal with these people and remove them. And the Palestinians, Hezbollah and Syria, are going to be routed. And God is going to step in. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 17. Speaks about these coming events as well. He deals more particularly with Syria and Damascus. Look at verse 1. What is going to happen to Damascus? Syria is going to be involved in this war. Brother Mitchell and I talked about this in the car the other day. And he says that Syria, all of Syria is not going to be wiped out, but we see Damascus is going to be wiped out. Look at verse 1, and he's right. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Damascus is reputed to be the oldest city on earth. And it has been conquered many times, but has never been utterly destroyed, permanently destroyed. And verse 1 says, Damascus shall be taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. God is going to deal with Syria, the capital of Syria, in this war. Look at verse 14. Go down to the end of the chapter. A very interesting verse that many people have commented on in the last decade or so. And we'll talk about it in a few minutes. And behold, at eventide, trouble. Speaking about Damascus here. And before the morning, he is not. Trouble in the evening. Before the morning comes, Damascus is no more. He is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and a lot of them that rob us. That sounds like nuclear destruction. Israel has a policy called the Samson option. And this policy means that if Israel feel that they're going to be destroyed, they have their backs to the wall and they're about to be destroyed, they will use their nuclear weapons on the enemy. They have this policy. As Samson sacrificed himself. Now, last summer, Syria were making noises about using chemical weapons against Israel. And the Israelis, last summer, sent a message to Syria. It was an open message, and it said this: if you use chemical weapons on us, we will wipe you off the map. That's nuclear weapons, I believe. And I think that's what's going to happen. I believe that's what's being shown here. Now, I believe the moment the Israeli intelligence discover that Syria are going to use biological and chemical weapons against them, they will take action to stop it. They will wipe Israel off the map. Now, that's significant in what we want to say in the next two sessions. Now, the outcome of this war, we've been trying to build this. I just want to come and say to you that these enemies of Israel are going to be destroyed because I say it. I've tried to build for you what the Scripture says about the outcome of this war, how God is going to destroy these enemies of Israel. God's going to intervene and bring great destruction. Look at Isaiah 17:13. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters. That's this war when it begins. Rush against Israel. But God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee afar off, and shall be like the chaff of the morning before the wind. The outcome of this war is going to be utter destruction of Israel's enemy. And when that destruction takes place, use a little bit of sanctified imagination here, when that destruction takes place, it's going to shake the world to their foundations. Perhaps the use of chemical and biological weapons will shake the world. The use of nuclear weapons by Israel will shake the world. And the fact that God has intervened and wiped these people off the map, the world is going to be shaken, just as after each of the three wars that have happened. There's been a pause when the world sensed that God had intervened. And this will be the beginning of the end of Islam. We'll talk about this tomorrow morning. The end will come after Ezekiel 38 and 39. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Now, at the conclusion of the war, Psalm 83 then, building on what we said, there will be two things that will happen. There will be the peace treaty and the appearance of Antichrist. I suggest to you that the removal of these people today that are trying to drive Israel off the land and have no intention of signing a peace treaty, God will remove them so that Antichrist can come on the scene and sign a peace treaty that will give Israel the right to build the third temple and reestablish temple worship. So I think the war of Psalm 83 is a prelude to the peace treaty and the coming tribulation period. You follow me there? Now, so we see God's great anger against the Palestinians, against their blasphemy against Him and their blasphemy against the people of God. And we said the Palestinians are decimated, removed from the land, no opposition to Israel in the land. Thirdly, we said the world will be shaken, and this war that has taken place, the annihilation of Israel's enemy. And fourthly, it's quite possible or probable or highly likely that the inevitable economic worldwide collapse that's coming, that's not a prophecy, that's a fact, there's coming a great economic collapse upon the world. It's possible that these events could trigger that collapse. And so the world would be in a further state of confusion, and the world would be crying out for somebody to come and deliver them and sign a peace treaty. No more nuclear wars, no more biological weapons. Do something about this economic collapse. We need a Savior to come and help us and deliver us. We need disarmament. And Antichrist, the stage will be set for Antichrist to come upon the scene and do just that. Satan is a great imitator. The Lord promised to send Christ to bring peace to the world and rule the world from Jerusalem through Israel. The Lord has promised to do that. And Satan is a pretty good Bible scholar, and he knows that. And Satan is an imitator, not an innovator. And so Satan will send a false Christ to bring a false peace to the world. He'll send his false Christ, who will be the president of the EU, leader of the EU, and probably the leader, the permanent leader of the United Nations. I believe that the war of Psalm 83 is near at hand. I don't know, next week, next month, next year, the year after, we can't set dates or times, could be down the road, but it seems like the situation, the scenario is being set right now for that war. Will the church be raptured before that war, during that war, after that war? We don't know when the rapture will take. We only know one thing about the rapture. It'll take place before the tribulation period begins. So we may well see this war, or we may not see this war. But the stage is being set now for that war to take place. And I mentioned this morning, I talked this morning about Iran. Iran is not involved in this war, and yet there seems to be a war coming with Iran somehow or other. And there are many scenarios that could cause Iran to be taken out of this war. One of the scenarios appeared on, as I said this morning, appeared on Debka file intelligence report this morning. And they are as accurate as anyone when it comes to intelligence. And they suggested, through their intelligence, that they've discovered that Iran is planning to use an MP3 over the eastern coast of the Persian Gulf, Saudi Arabia, and that MP3 would wipe out all the electronics of Saudi Arabia. It would wipe out all the electronics of the American fleet there and the American troops in that area. And Iran could launch an attack in there. And they suggested they would take 30,000 American prisoners hostages, and then they would negotiate with the Americans, "We'll give your hostages back if you promise not to attack us." And Iran's goal is to get the oil of Saudi Arabia. If they get that and control the Straits of Hormuz, they will control, virtually control the world's oil supply. They'll control the Middle East. These are all projected scenarios. But there are many scenarios that could take Iran out of this war. Another thing they reported this morning was that although Iran does not have nuclear weapons as such that they can use with missiles, yet they have two primitive nuclear weapons that can be delivered by ship or by aircraft, and that they would plan to drop one between Haifa and Tel Aviv. These are all just scenarios and suggestions. And that they also have dirty bombs that they could give to Hezbollah to detonate in Israel, cause a cloud of radioactivity. There's many scenarios, and we don't know how that's all going to work out. But this seems like this war is coming. We're on the threshold of this war, and that this war is going to be the war that prepares the world to enter into the tribulation period. Question. Are we that near to these things? Are we that near to the coming of the tribulation period? Well, we can't say for sure, but it sure looks like that's what's happening. It sure looks like the fulfillment of Scripture. If that's the case, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. And we're going to go into His presence. And all this deterioration of the society and the world around us, that if the Lord should tarry for another few years, I tremble to think what this world's going to be like and where we'll be. But Jesus is coming, and it seems to be near at hand. And again, the question arises, what does that mean to you? Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know? Are you sure you're born again? Part of the body of Christ. But when the trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up into God's presence, in the Lord's presence. There to be reunited with all our those who have gone on before and all the saints of all the church age. And we're going to gather around the throne and sing the praises of God and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that old nature will be gone and we'll be like Christ glorified. And that could be just moments away. Christian, don't you go around with your head down and worrying about the things that are all kinds of troubles and silly things. And you're rich. You're blessed. Rejoice in the soon coming of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love and your great provision. Lord, we thank you for Israel. We pray you'll bless Israel, oh God. Bring them back to yourself in your great sovereignty and your mercy and your grace. Bless us, Lord. Lord, we pray that we might be ready to rise to meet you. And when we rise to meet you, that we'll not be ashamed before you at your coming. Help us to so live that we'll not be ashamed before you at your coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.